for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Spring Camp Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, April the 15th, 2017. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service teaching on Hidden Sins.
I was married 41 years. My late wife passed away about almost 2 years ago. Never thought I'd marry again. But you see, God, He just does good things, doesn't He? Praise God, and I thank Him for it very much. Hallelujah. I was one of the ministers at my late pastor's funeral last week, and they told us at the funeral, his son did, his youngest son. He was taking Brother Rich to church there in McKinney, Texas, north of Dallas. And on the way there, Brother Rich asked him 12 times where they were going. He had dementia. And then he'd ask him, "Who are you?" And they got to church, and Mike plays the piano. So someone would have to sit with Brother Rich. And there was a message in tongues, and it was quiet. Mike said in the piano, and then he heard this loud booming voice. It was his dad. He interpreted that message in tongues perfectly, but didn't know where he's at and didn't know who he's with. But you see, it's not our mind. That's the spirit, praise God. That just blessed me. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Rich was good to me. He was my pastor there in Dallas. He made me assistant pastor. It was a large church, but I wouldn't have made myself assistant pastor. And I was single, and he and his wife fixed that, and my first wife that's passed on, praise God. Before I get into the message, I want to read to you Luke 4. In Luke 4, praise God. There are four things here in this chapter after Jesus is baptized. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. These are things the Holy Spirit will do for us. But Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we think we can be less than that? How do we think we can operate or do anything for God unless we're full of the Holy Ghost? And then He was led by the Spirit. And how could we even function and live this life unless we're led by the Spirit? And then in verse 14 is the third one. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. I found that if you just have the anointing, if you just have the power, whatever ministry situation it is, whether it's one-on-one or if it's we go to the jail every Tuesday night, I've seen God do awesome things there in that jail. I mean, we act Pentecostal in there. It's our turn. I'm in charge. We're going to be what we are. And then go under the bridges there in Dallas, downtown Dallas, to minister to the homeless and to feed them. Same thing if you can just have the Spirit of God operating there. In the church, in the Holy Highway Girls Home, and the Russians Rehab Center, it's just all about the anointing. And that's the fourth one, verse 18. Jesus is reading this. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." You know, somebody said, "Is that all that necessary?" And they said, "Well, I wouldn't go to the post office unless the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the who? Or. I remember that when we're under those bridges. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and there's a world of that, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then in speaking of deliverance, in John chapter 8, most of you would be familiar with that, John chapter 8, and in verse 31, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now they're believers. Okay? It takes more than believing. The devils believe and tremble, but they're not saved. And Jesus qualifies it, and he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, if you continue in my word. And you shall know the truth. The word and, conjunction and, connects this verse to verse 31, which says to continue in his word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Don't be expecting to be delivered or set free if you're not going to abide in the truth. Why would God set anyone free from anything that's not intended to abide in the truth or in his word? Why? I tell the guys in the jail, I tell them under the bridge or at the Russian rehab center there near Dallas, don't come to God wanting some relief in an area of your life that's causing you grief, but the rest of it, you're going to keep your hand on that and you're going to operate that and do what you want to, but you've got this problem over here. Maybe it's an addiction of some sort, and you want to be delivered from that because it's causing you problems. Maybe you're about to lose your wife, lose your job, and you just want that fixed, but you don't want to continue in his word, and you don't want to know the truth. God doesn't do that. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. You got to get at that thing, and more than anything, you know your biggest enemy is yourself. It's your flesh and self. That's your biggest enemy. And more of this word deals with that than it does with demons, angels, portals, or anything else we want to name. Is that right? Am I telling you the truth? I know I am. Praise God. I know what this word says. Not that we don't have to deal with other things, but it's yourself first. And if you get delivered from everything, but you don't deal with the flesh on a daily basis, you don't deny yourself daily, it's not going to work. You're still not going to make it. So then in verse 36, if the Son therefore, now let me back up, you shall know the truth. What is truth? It's not facts, it's not information. It's saving knowledge. It's saving knowledge. You got to know saving knowledge. Go to all the classes you want to go to, listen to all the sermons, read all the books. That's not going to do it. We have to know saving knowledge. And Christ is the truth. And so it says, If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so he's the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So knowing him, have an intimate fellowship with him. Then there's one other thing I want to mention. In preaching, I have the church I pastor will be 39 years this summer. So I've preached literally thousands of sermons. I pastored two churches at one time for 7 years. Preach many times a week even now. But so where do you get the sermons from? Or the teachings, whatever you want to call them. 2 Corinthians 9:10, now he that ministers seed to the sower. What is the seed? It's the word. We see that in the parable of the seed and the sower. Who gives you the seed to sow? Where did that seed come from? Did you go down to the seed store and buy it or get it online? Where'd you get that at? Well, people do get their sermons online, and they do get them out of books. But he said here, he ministers seed to the sower. And Peter told the lame man at the gate, such as I have, I give unto you. Now, I tell you, if all he had was some package deal he got somewhere and had a little certificate to show he got it, if that man would have still been sitting there after they walked by. You know that? Because the anointing was upon Peter. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What did you have, Peter? If he had the Spirit of the Lord upon him, he was anointed. Such as I have, I give unto you. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. This has been the way that God has led me to operate all my life. basically, because first time I preached, I was 12 years old, so this is what I've done all my life, and I thank God for a new sense of time. I was a little boy, what I was supposed to be. Now, two things here. He gives seed to the sower. That's your message, your teaching, words. And he said he gives bread for your food. When I was pastoring there in that Peerless, you know, Google doesn't even know where Matt doesn't know where Peerless is at. Because I tried to find it. But we're on a dead end road. And it's good. I didn't know why. But I know why now. But anyway, I was there and I was working for Safeway. I don't know if some of you old enough to remember Safeway. It's still out west, but largest grocery chain in the world at that time. The world. And I just thought I had a job till I retired, you know. However, the Lord told me to quit, but I couldn't quit. I wouldn't quit. I'm scared of that. I want to know what day that paycheck's coming on and how much it is. And the church I pastored, what they paid us wouldn't pay much more than our light bill. I couldn't do it. Finally, he just kept on. You know how the Holy Spirit, you don't let go. And I went part-time. And, well, so Safeway had a leveraged buyout, and they had to sell half the company to pay for it. The banks and lawyers was $100 million, so they had to sell half the company. They told us the Dallas Division said, they won't sell the Dallas Division. It's very profitable. Well, you can't sell what's not profitable. We were the first one to go. First one. And they put every store and everything else up for grabs, the highest bidder. We lost our 8,000 of us lost our job. I'm sorry I caused 8,000 people to lose their job. I wouldn't quit. You may think he's going to sink that boat that Jonah was on and all the people on it. Anyway, whatever you want to think. So I was going to have to move somewhere. I had three kids. I had car payment, house payment, everything. That I couldn't do that. But the Lord made me a promise. He said, if you'll stay here, I'll take better care of you than Safeway did. And that was pretty good. That was really good. And I obeyed God to stay there. And so I've lived by this. Food for the table. Amen. Food for the table. And he said, and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So, all you that are ministers or aspire to be in whatever capacity, it doesn't have to be behind the pulpit. Whatever it is, God will give you what you need to minister to people. He'll give you the seed, and he'll put food on your table so you can take care of your needs. Amen? Praise God. I know that's so. Well, get into the message here. If you want to turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis 3:1, and I'll be looking for these at the same time you're looking for them, if you're looking for them, whatever you want to do. I'll talk to you about hidden sins. This is seed he's given me for this morning. He gave it to me in a dream this morning when I woke up. I think I'll tell you that first. In the dream, I was preparing a little house for someone to live in that needed a house. First of all, Lord, help. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. We give you glory and honor. Praise God. Amen. Yes. Well, the person was to be released. And in the dream, I understood all that. He was being released like from the military, but because he was incarcerated in the military for something he had done. And I thought it was unfair. But we were there when he was being released. And as soon as he walked out, there's several of us and some young men there. He goes over to one young man and embraces him and begins to kiss him like a man would kiss his wife. I mean, kissing him. And I thought, well, that looks strange to me. And it looks strange to everybody standing there. Now, this one that he was kissing and embracing and hugging, I mean on the lips, I mean the whole thing. And he was real reluctant to go. And we almost had to talk him into going. Well, when I'm watching this, I'm understanding why. And the others are looking like, what is going on? Well, I understood in the dream exactly what was going on. There was something hidden back there, and it's being revealed right there. You understand? Hidden sins. So, Genesis, well, I'm going to read, before I read that, I'll read some verses to you. Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment, and some men, they follow after. And you may hide it now, but you'll regret it later. John 3:20, for everyone that does evil hates the light, this is Jesus speaking, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. In my dream, in that dream, he didn't want to go because he feared this. They wouldn't come to Jesus because he was light. I don't have a problem with empty chairs and pews in the church. I know why they're empty. If I'm preaching truth, I know why they're empty. It's not because they've got something else to do. It's because they can't stand to come there and hear truth. I don't want to say more about that, but Luke 12:2-3, for there is nothing covered, Jesus speaking, that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Even our words that we thought nobody knew, we're whispering to somebody and telling them something, it'll be revealed. I was way back there, I was dating a girl who was married, and I went to her church, and they prophesied. And it didn't take me long to figure out what's going on, and I stayed at the back. I wasn't going to go up there and have what I was doing exposed or revealed. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want that. I didn't want to come to light. Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Mark 4:22, Jesus speaking, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret but that it shall come abroad. Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And in 1 Corinthians 4:5, the Lord will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the thoughts of the heart. Praise God. Now Genesis 3 and chapter 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made, and he said unto the woman, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, I'm going to stop and say, what is she doing by that tree? What's she doing over there? You know, making provision for her flesh. That's what she's doing. You cannot sin unless you make provision for your flesh. And that's a good time right here while I'm thinking. I've got 4 books back there. Well, it's just the right time. This one, Overcomer's Manual. And we pass these out free in the jail. We have the equipment in our church to make these, but you got to pay for them here. Because I donate them here, and then it helps the camp. And they're only $5, so get over it. It's freedom from bondage, being set free, cutting off provisions, recognizing provisions, denying self, having peace by the flesh, deliverance by loving Christ, cleanse yourselves, using our mind to overcome sin by the grace of God, addiction or temperance, and recovery. Those are the chapters. And then there's another one over there, and this is Christ inwardly. Christ inwardly, that's intimacy with Christ. You ain't going nowhere without being intimate with Christ. You know that? Praise God. And then this one's over there, the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. I'll tell you, my sister Pastor and I were at a meeting. I had a table there selling these books. It took me 2 years to write them. And we were just talking to each other. People come look at them. And this lady came over and picked it up. opened it up and jumped back and started hollering. I'm telling you the truth. And crying out loud, uncontrollably, said, "Did you feel that wind?" And she said, I haven't felt God in years. She went and got her husband, drug him over there, made him buy the book. Got over there, and the husband, I knew then who I was dealing with. He had come as an evangelist one time to our church, and I asked him, he was preaching prosperity. I asked him, "You got anything else to preach?" He said, and he got angry and went and got his amplifier and his guitar and his kids and his wife and got in his old plunkered car, but he's preaching prosperity. And sped out of the parking lot, flinging rocks as he went. And that's her husband. Isn't that neat? Praise God. And this one is the power of God. Y'all don't mind this, do you? Come on, you can take something home from you. Take a lot of books home here. And this, an open heaven, preparing our heart. What is speaking in tongues? Do you have the power? The Spirit is upon me. Words matter. Fully surrender the season and the time. The power of God. Part one, power of God, part two. Praise God. You have to have the power of God. You have to. I tell you, that education and training will only take you so far, and then it's over with. Now, back to this. So, what's she doing by that tree? She's making provision. There's only one tree they can't touch, but she's over there by it. Are you getting that? What are you doing by that? What are you doing looking at it, listening to it? There must be something in you that's drawing you to it. And so the serpent, he just happens to be there, said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, you shall see as God, be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now what is the devil telling Eve? Well, it's a lie, but he's telling her that you're not complete in Christ, and you need this to add to. You see, this, what does the scripture say? We're complete in Christ, who's the head of all things. There is nothing outside of Christ that can make us complete. We are complete only in Him. That's every area of our life. Doesn't matter what area it is. And if there's an area of our life that we won't let Him in, that says something, doesn't it? Isn't that true? It says something. And see, the problem with most people, they're just adding Jesus to what they already are. He's not. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with Him in glory. I was a pallbearer at the funeral of a pastor and his wife's funeral. And so we go by and shake their hands, and he knew me, and he said, "Nikki, she was my life. I don't know what I'm going to do now." And I thought, I wish you wouldn't say that. I wish you wouldn't say your wife is your life. Or your job, or your kids, or your ministry, or whatever. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we are complete in Him. Thank God for all the other blessings He gives us. But here we see that she in herself doesn't feel complete in Christ, or she wouldn't bite this bait that's being put out there. And when she saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit there and did eat, and gave also her husband with her, and did eat. Now, you know what happens. What do? They make aprons out of fig leaves, trying to cover their own sin, trying to hide it. Then they hide from God, because we're talking about hidden sins, so when you got hidden sins, you hide from God. You don't come to the light. Is that right? You get just a little bit close. There's a lot of people jammed up in some mega churches that are hiding in there. I'm not saying everybody, okay? But that's probably covers a lot of people. Because there's somebody in here this morning that's hiding something, and God knows you are. I wouldn't be preaching this. And I hope He'll speak to you. And you're never going to get well, and you're never going to get delivered, you're never going to overcome till you quit hiding that thing. You got something going on, you're hiding. And God says that you are. Well, they hid from God because of their disobedience. In Genesis chapter 4, we see that they had two sons, and one of them brings the offering of his own mind, does what he wants to, and the other one brings the one that God requires. God accepts Abel's offering. He rejects Cain's offering. Cain gets angry. Notice he gets angry. Because you can't do anything to God, you got to get angry with someone that God's blessing, you know, or telling you the truth. But that doesn't work because you're doing it to God. Right? What Peter's saying, you lied to the Holy Ghost. You lied to me. And so he, out in the field, he kills him and hides his body. We're talking about hidden sins. He hides his body. You ain't hiding nothing from God. He hides his body, and then God comes to him, and the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Like God doesn't know what he did. And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground." You're not going to hide anything from God. Brother Clinton one time was preaching in the church, and while he's preaching, the two guys in the choir loft stood up, hollered, and ran out. They were homosexuals. They couldn't stand it. Everything was hidden until he began to preach. You know, that's a terrible thing. If I was pastoring that church and nothing ever got uncovered, I'd say something about me, wouldn't it? You understand what I'm saying? I was in the jail one time. After we got through, I was shaking hands with the inmates there. And I shook hands with one young man. His name was Travis. I asked him his name. That's how I know it, in case you're wondering. And so I walked away from Travis, and the Lord said, "You go back and pray for him." So I went back. I said, "I'm going to pray for him." Took his hand. He's looking around. Who's being told this is not macho, this bed folded by head, praying for him. But I took his hand and I closed my eyes, and the Lord had a word for me. He said, you're frightened. Now look, before I pray for him, he's standing there just as calm, and the Lord said, "You're frightened, you're afraid, you're scared," and so on. And I opened my eyes, and this guy's just shaking like a leaf. Because God exposed. You know, God exposed. When God exposes, and I'm going to tell you something, God's warning you this morning, he will expose it. We read those verses. Be sure your sins will find you out. And we'll see some other things here, but he said, "Well, how'd you know that?" I said, "I didn't know, but God knew it. And he wants you to know that he knows. And that he cares, and he wants you to have peace." Praise God. Well, one time I was praying in our church there, this is several years ago, but I was going across the line across the front of the church. It's a little wider than this, but I came to this teenage girl, and the Lord showed me what she was doing. It wasn't nice. And I said, "Oh Lord," her mother standing beside her. I said, "I don't know if I can say that. They might get mad and leave, take the checkbook with them. I don't know." But I obeyed God and told her and what the Lord had to say to her, and she just broke and wept and cried. Thank God that He confronts us. Amen. If in your prayers He never confronts you, but see, I've been in churches where they never let the Spirit of God move. I mean, they're not going to let Him move. They got it all planned out, and they're going to go fast, and you're not getting in there anywhere. Because they don't really want things exposed. Everything's going to keep this thing humming along and keep the offerings coming and the people coming. In Joshua 7, I'm just going to tell you what, you know these, Achan. What Achan do? He took the forbidden thing and hid it in his tent. We're talking about hidden things. Maybe you got something you stole. He stole some. Maybe you got something stole that you need to return. I was pastoring in Cattle Mills, the first church I pastored, and I worked in Dallas at Safeway. And my dad had given me a Craftsman ratchet. You know, Craftsman tools are guaranteed for life. But it was broke. So I'm going to take it back to Sears, and I'm going to get me a new ratchet. I get there, and everything's fine. The lady's filling out the thing. She said, "Well, where'd you buy it, or when'd you buy it?" I didn't know she was going to ask me that. I said, "I don't know." I lied. And well, you lie too, so just whatever. And I lied. She gave it to me. I went home. I wished I never saw that ratchet. I wish I never saw that thing. I had to take it back. That's the only way. I mean, the only way to get free of this. Be sure your sins will find you out. I walked back in there with that ratchet in my hand. How am I going to do this? I found the clerk. It wasn't the same one. I didn't see the same one. I told her what I did. She looked at me like I was crazy and told me to take that ratchet and leave. I'll tell you what. I never did enjoy that ratchet. Don't know what I did with it. Praise God. So Achan stole, put it in, hid it in his tent. You know, they lost the first battle at Ai. Shouldn't have lost it. And Joshua was very disturbed. All the elders are disturbed. This is bad. This is really bad. And if you've got things going adversely in your life, relationships, jobs, health, finances, why don't you ask God to show you if there's something hidden? Joshua knew, and God spoke to him and said, there's an accursed thing in this camp, and I can't bless you. I tell you, God's not, one person can bring a church down, bring a camp down, bring a family down. You know that. This, the list goes on. So they cast lots that landed on Achan, and Joshua said to me, now tell me what you did. Now come on, tell me something what you did. He confessed it. And I want you to know they didn't fix it that time. They went and found it, and he and his family were all put to death because of the accursed thing, because he had done this. 1 Samuel 15, this is Saul, and Saul has been given instructions by the mouth of the prophet Samuel. God woke Samuel up and said, Saul didn't do what I told him to do through you. He didn't do it. He said, I've rejected him. Samuel gets up early and heads off to find Saul. Saul thinks he's got this thing hidden. But when he walks up, and he said, well, I did what God said. He said, well, what is this bleeding of the sheep and lowing of the cattle out here? See, what you're hiding sometimes is going to send out signals or make, you know what I'm saying? One time I was pasturing cattle mills, and none of you probably know where in the world that's at. But it's another little place. And I drove up these boys' house. We picked up black children, Mexican children, white kids, anybody to get on our bus. And I drove up to visit them, and I saw smoke. But it wasn't a campfire. And they ran and hid behind the corner of the house. Then after a while, they come out. And I thought to myself, why are you hiding that from me? God sees, you know. I talk to people that have it behind their back, you know, holding it where I couldn't see it. And the smoke comes up. Are you going to fire something, you know? So the bleating of the sheep, you can't hide this stuff, folks. You may have so far. You may be really good at it. But be sure your sins will find you out. And it's not going to be good when it happens. And so, Samuel said, why did you fly up on the spoil? Why did you fly up on the spoil? And he lost his kingdom over that. Now, in 2 Samuel 11, 1-27, we have the story of David and Bathsheba. You know how he tried to hide that, don't you? And bring her husband home, get him drunk, hope he'll go sleep with his wife, and everybody think that child is Uriah's instead of his. But Uriah's a more honorable man than him, won't go home, sleeps on the porches of the palace. And David's in a quandary. You know, if he'd have stopped right there, he'd have been so much better off. And right there. If you hide it somewhere, get it and give it back to whoever it belongs to, or destroy it, or whatever you need to do. Or quit doing it. Quit, break it off. Praise God. Break it off. It's going to mean your soul. Maybe you're a once saved, always saved, unconditional, eternal security person. I don't know, but that's not going to work. It's not going to work. And so he thought he had this thing all fixed. You know, he sent Uriah with a letter, his own death warrant, and had him put it at the front of the line and put to death. And so everything looks good. He takes Bathsheba for his wife. And just, isn't that wonderful, our king? Look what he's done. He took this widow woman, one of our great soldiers. He thinks he's got this thing done, but he doesn't. Till a man called Nathan, a prophet, comes to him and tells him this story about the one sheep, and the man had a lot of sheep. And David said, tell me who he is, I'll put him to death. And he points his finger and said, you're the man. You are the one. Thank God for somebody that'll say what they need to say. You're the one. May cost you. It did cost some of those prophets. Cost them their lives when they confront the king or whoever. Brother Clinton, it tells how that one time they were having a revival and they were singing and worshiping. And the evangelist got up and said, we need to come to the altar. God, there's something going on in this church. He said, large. It was a very large church. And they came to the altar, and then the evangelist got back up and said, there's a man in here going into another man's wife. We're going to pray some more. Brother Clinton thought, oh, you better be right, but if you are right, that's not good either. And so they're down praying, and Brother Clinton is praying at the altar, and somebody taps him on the shoulder. And he looks up at his Sunday school superintendent. He says, I won't be back. Brother Clinton said, I'm sure you won't be back. And that was the one. You may think you've really got it hidden well. And what you're doing, this affair you've got going on, or this whatever you're doing, be sure your sins will find you out. God's saying that to you this morning. I'm not. God's saying, be sure your sins will find you out. And you may be at this deliverance camp hoping to get out of some grief thing that's bothering you, but God wants to deal with you about something deeper. Now, then we have, I want to say this in Psalm 51, and I've prayed that many times when I failed God, the Psalm of Repentance, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And he says one thing, he says, David, this is David after he said with Bathsheba, it says it plainly. And he says, against thee only have I sinned, talking to God. It's God that you've done this against. And let me remind you, if it was done to you, remember, it's God they did it to. Okay? Quit trying to act like it's all you. I just want you to understand that. I'm the wounded one. No, it was done against God. And how dare we act so wounded and done unto when look what we've done to other people ourselves. But we want to get sanctimonious, you know what that word is, and self-righteous, and somebody's done something to me, but what have you done to someone else? Let go of it. It's God they did it to. It wasn't your law they transgressed, it was God's. And he makes that plain. And yes, we've done it unto people in a sense, but we did it to God. But toward the end of that chapter, and he said, these are the sacrifices of God, a broken and contrite spirit. And until we get broken and contrite over the thing we're hiding, until we get broken and contrite, we're not going to deal with it like we ought to. You'll fuss with people, you'll argue with people, that's somebody gets too close and to what's going on, and we'll get angry and try to shut them up so they won't. One time I was praying for a lady in our church, and I didn't know what I was just saying what God gave me to say, and she stopped me. Let me know I was getting too close to something. Didn't want me to go on. Praise God. It's going to come out. Is that right? And you know what the Lord said in another place? The scripture says, unto this man will I look. He is of a broken and contrite spirit. That's the one he's looking to. Not the one with the education, the good looks, the personality, the good works, but whatever is broken. We're not going anywhere with God unless we're broken and contrite in our spirit. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. It won't work any other way. Now, in Ezekiel 35. I will turn there because I'm not as familiar with that one. Ezekiel 35 and verse 10. Because you have said these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess them, whereas the Lord was there. He's talking against Mount Seir. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will even do according to thine anger and according to thine envy, which thou hast used out of your hatred against them, and I will make myself known among them when I have judged you. And you shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have heard all your blasphemies, which you have spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given us to consume. Thus, with your mouth you have boasted against me, and have multiplied your words against me, and I have heard them. Maybe you didn't think that God heard what you said, but I have heard them. Thus says the Lord God, when the whole earth rejoices, I will make you desolate. I will make you desolate. Now, in Acts chapter 4, we have Ananias and Sapphira. The church, people of the church, it says in chapter 3 that they were selling, even Barnabas was doing this, that traveled with Paul. You wonder why God selects some people? You know, Paul said, I'm going to send Timothy to you because I have no other man like-minded. Everybody's looking out for their own thing except this one. So I'm going to send him to you. Oh, God, use me. Oh, God, here I am. You know, jumping up my foot. Hey, God, look here. Well, not unless you're broken in contrite spirit. And not unless you're, I mean, if you're going after your own thing, God doesn't want, you know, you mess it up. I would mess it up. Is that right? Where it's all about us, it's not about God and what He wants. And so they're selling things and they're bringing the money. So here comes Ananias and Sapphira, but they have got together and decided that they need to keep some of the money back, and they're going to act like this is all of it. Oh, but the Holy Ghost knows, doesn't He? Amen. And so he comes before Peter, and Peter says, this all of it? Oh, yeah, this is it. He said, well, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Not Peter, but the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can go a lot of places and lie in a lot of churches and a lot of preachers, and nothing's going to happen to you. Okay? Why? Because God's not in 100 miles of that place. And God doesn't know that preacher. He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you, but they're casting out devils and speaking in tongues and doing miracles as I never knew you. The seven sons of Sceva trying to cast a demon out of that man. And they said, we adjure you by Christ. And Paul preaches to come out. And he said, I know Christ. I know Jesus. And I know Paul. But who are you? And so he's lying. And he drops dead. And after a while, his wife, they bury him. They're just finished burying him. The young men come back in. She comes, shows up, and nobody knows. And so he asked her, did you get this much money for that property? Oh, yeah. She said, well, the same one that buried your husband, going to bury you, and she drops dead. It's hidden sin. You understand that? They're going to hide something. No, you're not going to hide anything from God. You might hide them from your mama, your daddy, your preacher. And that's not to say they're not godly because you're able to do it. You're just smart. But God knows. God knows. And then we read in John 2:23, Jesus, and this is really important, not just for what we're talking about right here, but John 2:23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, Jesus, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. Just because we come sing, just because we preach, just because we pray, just because whatever religious thing we do, doesn't mean the Lord's going to commit himself unto us. It is so vitally important that he commits himself to us. When he begins to reveal his son in us, that's a whole new, that book I was telling you about, Christ inwardly. When he begins, Paul said that in Galatians chapter 1. He said, it pleased the Father who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me. And when he begins to reveal himself in us, and he has to do that, or we'll never be like Christ. Read 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we behold him as in the Spirit, we see him from glory to glory, revelation to revelation, we're changed to the same image as by the Spirit of God. And Jesus said in John 16 that the Holy Spirit will take the things of mine and show them unto you. And then in John 14 he says, if you'll keep my commandments, my Father and I will come and manifest ourselves to you. Is that happening? Is it revelation? Are you receiving revelation? Or do you just have information? Go to all the discipleship training classes, whatever class you want to dream up. Or go to pay your money and go. You're going to get information, but that's all you know. It's revelation. Amen. And revelation only comes by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Paul said, no man taught me this. That's Galatians chapter 1. No man taught me this, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, are we receiving revelation? There's two kinds of teaching and preaching. One is information, one's revelation. And I'm going to say this to you. Information's not going to save anybody, but revelation will. Information cannot change us. Revelation will change us. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. That's revelation. But then the scripture says the letter kills, the spirit makes alive. The letter is information. The spirit is revelation. We must receive revelation. And is that happening? And so, but for us to receive revelation means that Christ is committing himself to us, committing himself, and he's making himself vulnerable to us. What do we mean vulnerable? In that we might betray him. He's making himself vulnerable. It's, in a sense, risky. And I want to tell you, many people have betrayed him. He committed himself to them. He revealed himself to them. He manifested himself, and they turned around, and that's they tasted the good things of God, and then they trample it underfoot. It happens, folks. It really happens. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You can't hide it. I can't hide it. He knows what's in us. And we can get angry at God. God, why aren't you revealing your will, your this, your that? It's all you want in the area of revelation is to know which thing on the stock market to invest in. Is that all that means to you? Or do you want to find Christ and him be revealed in you? Because that's the only way we can be changed. He didn't commit. You know, over and over, you know this. You read in these four Gospels that Jesus knew what they were thinking and exposed it, right? He knows. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23 through 25, it says that when an unlearned unbeliever comes in and everyone's prophesying, and that would mean the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, but that would mean that the word of knowledge is operating there and it operates through the gift of prophecy. Always, the gifts of the Spirit, at least two are working. Never one, just one. Always at least two. You can check that out. And you have the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, but they operate through the prophecy, the gift of prophecy. It says, so, and the secrets of their heart are made manifest. See, nothing's hidden. That's why I didn't want to go in front of that church. They'd tell them what people were doing. I wasn't going to go down there. And the secrets of their heart are made manifest. Does everybody repent when that happens? No. Some people double the fist up. Some people threaten. Some people get mad and leave. Some people tell you, say you're lying. You're the messenger. Just let, you know, God deal with it. And they'll fall on their face and say, but surely God's among you. How's people going to know that he's at Lake Hamilton or the church where you go or in your ministry? How are they going to know? How did the woman at the well know that Jesus was a prophet? And finally she said the Messiah. Because he told her all that ever she did. Right? That's how she knew. We've got to have the gifts operating, folks. We've got to have the gifts operating. If we're not going to do that, we just might as well be a counselor, whatever, you know. Get out there and get your business going. And some churches are a business. I serve on our section committee about 30-something years, and I'm secretary treasurer in this town near us. And every time they get out of a pastor, I'd have to take care of their finances. They get a new pastor, he'd call me up on the phone and say, well, Brother Pence, I won't come get the books. What he really wanted was the checkbook. You know, I said, come get it. And they'd come over there, and one of them was sitting there talking to me, and he said, well, you know, a church is just a business, and you've got to treat it like a business. And I thought, I wouldn't want to go to your church. I wouldn't want you to be my pastor. I sat in a meeting with some ministers one time, and I heard this again the other day. And they said, well, a pastor would be wonderful if it wasn't for the people. I thought, I wouldn't want to be your pastor. I wouldn't want you to be my pastor if that's the way you feel about it. And the scripture talks about just making merchandise out of God's people. Well, secrets of the heart made manifest. Now, James 5:16. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Is that right? Why am I not being healed? Because you're hiding things. Could be. It could be. I'm not saying necessarily it is, but it could be. God knows, and you may know too. 1 John. We've got to talk about confession now, folks. 1 John. When we talk about hiding, what are you going to do about things you're hiding? Now, I want to say right off, I'm not into confession services or meetings. I think that can do more damage than it ever would be good. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to cause more hurt than you're ever going to cause good. But if the Lord tells you to go to someone and make something right, you better go. If you need to return something, if you need to take the ratchet back, the scissors, or whatever you need to do. Right? 1 John 1:6. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, not our idea of life, not our definition of life. You know, everybody writes their own Bible, everybody writes their own doctrine. We do that. And we do it to fit what we want, and we leave out the parts that would affect something that we enjoy or that's feeding our flesh. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, with the Lord, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That we need to know that. Because we can repent all we want, think we're repenting. We can confess all we want, but if we're not going to walk in the light, it's the blood of Jesus is not going to cleanse your sin. Do you understand that? Do we understand that this morning? He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. Either walk in the light or save your breath. Praise God. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's enough sin in this room this morning. I don't know if it was David Wilson or B.H. Clinton that said, there's enough sin in the church that if a turkey buzzard flew over the church, he'd have to hold his nose. What do you mean, sin? I am doing nothing wrong. Well, just that attitude right there shows something. If we say we have no sin, we're lying. Okay, humble yourself. Praise God. Hallelujah. We cry between the porch and the altar. But not crying because, look, here's what's up. Some people cry. I've seen them. This is one young man. He got down at the altar in our old church building, and he literally shook that thing. He was weeping and crying so hard. Got up and went right on doing what he's doing. I knew a man, his father was a pastor, and he said this. He said his dad would be preaching, he'd get convicted. If he knew, he'd go down there and weep and cry a little bit, the conviction would lift, and then he'd go and do what he's doing. He figured that out. Praise God. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. See, the word will keep you from sinning. He said, if you abide in my word, if you continue in my word, be my disciples indeed, and the truth shall make you free, right? If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation of Christ paid for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. But the whole world's not going to be saved. Is that right? In chapter 3, he says that, and we know that Jesus, verse 5, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abides in him sins not. Wow, what do you do with that? If you abide in him, you don't sin. Whosoever sins has not seen him. That's talking about Revelation. Neither knows him. Look, children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that commits sin is of the what? For the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And I'm going to tell you, the works of the devil is more than just your paycheck getting cut. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, the word remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loves not his brother. When I grew up, they had this precious promise box, you know. You pull out your promise for the day, how God's going to bless you. I don't think they ever put these verses in there. This is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, okay? And then Revelation 20, this is the last one I want to, I think Revelation 20. It's appointed that the man wants to die, and after death the judgment. Is that right? All of us are appointed once to die. But you know there's a second death. You're aware of that. And if you read in chapter 19, 19:20, let's say that. He said that those that are going to the first resurrection shall not be touched by the second death. Is that right? That's what it says. Won't be touched by the second. There's a second death. But we're appointed. Every man's appointed unto the first death. That's what it says. But there is a second death, but not everyone is appointed to the second death. What makes the difference? What makes the difference? Well, we're going to find out what makes the difference. And he said, if we go in the first resurrection, we'll not be touched by the second death. We will go to judgment, because it says that appointed unto man must die and after death the judgment. But those that go in the first resurrection, the judgment's about their rewards. Every work tried is by fire, right? Now, there's another judgment. We'll read that here. This is for the ones that don't go in the first resurrection, to catch in the way of the church. And he said, then I saw, well, I'm back up in verse 10, and the devil that deceived him was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, that's young and old, stand before God. They're going to be teenagers and children stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened. So we have books and a book. All right? And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. So the books is the record of your life. Nothing's hidden. He said that nothing, it's all going to be brought to light. It's in the books. The only way it won't be brought to light is if you send it ahead, you repent, truly repent, you walk in the light, then it's not going to be. Thank God. I got things I've done. I don't want anybody to know what I've done. But I've dealt with them. Have you dealt with yours? But if we don't, then these books are going to be open. And it doesn't matter. I heard a preacher friend of mine say this, and I believe it's right. If it takes the Lord 10,000 years to deal with your case, he'll take it. He's got eternity to do it. And not only that, your mom and your daddy are going to be standing there and hear this, perhaps. That I can't guarantee, but there'll be some people here. And oh my. And another scripture says they'll be speechless. Absolutely can't. For one time, they can't open their mouth and argue about anything. Speechless. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. The death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works. Everyone's going to be resurrected, okay? Everyone. But this is the second resurrection. Because the ones in the first resurrection, it's finished for them. They come back with him. You read that. 10,000 of the saints on white horses following him. And I'm not trying to get into some theological thing with somebody here, okay? So please don't come to me afterwards and try to get me straightened out on this. This is not what we're dealing with at this point. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. We heard it earlier this week in one of the messages, and hasn't it been good? Yes. So, what is the book? Well, Jesus is. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He's the Word. What is the whole purpose of being saved? That we can be conformed to the image of Christ. That's Romans 8. Romans 8, 28 says, but all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called for his purpose. That's wonderful. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That'll be in your promise book. Promise box. But the next one won't be there. It says, verse 29, for, and that word for is a conjunction that ties it to verse 28. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You're saved to become like his son. Not to get out of going to hell, not to have a mansion on the hilltop. You are saved, I am saved, if we're saved, to become like his son, to become one with him, Christ be formed in us, grow up to Christ in all things, grow up in the full measure of the stature of the image of Christ, right? And if we are not, we're not going to heaven. That's that simple. If we're not, we're not going to heaven. Praise God. Sister Jane, would you come? Now, the first thing I want to ask you, first, in giving you an opportunity to respond, and you don't have to come up here to take care of this. I know that. But sometimes it helps. It's an act of obedience. You're not obeying me. That's not going to get you very far. obey the voice. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you this morning, there's things hidden in your life. If He's speaking to you, He's doing it for a reason. He's giving you an opportunity. Isn't that right? He's giving you an opportunity this morning. I didn't eat too much pizza and have a dream, folks. I had another message with God. Maybe this dream this morning. I knew what he I knew. I told my wife, I know what I'm supposed to talk about. There are people in here hiding things. I don't know if it's a relationship, I don't know if it's something you stole, I don't know if it's anger, I don't know if it's bitterness, I don't know if it's words against someone. I don't know what it is, but God knows. Oh, God speaks our hearts. We came for deliverance, Father. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He loves you so much, but He doesn't love you sin. He doesn't love what you're hiding. He said, your sin has separated you from your God, and He will not hear you. There should be no deliverance. No real deliverance. If you're here this morning, you're hiding something. And you want to confess it to the Lord. You don't have to tell me anything. If you need it, God did. If you've done something to someone, you need to go to them. That's one thing. Whether or not they accept your apology or not, that's between them and God, isn't it? You did what you're supposed to do. If you're here and you want to come this morning, ask God to forgive you and show you how to. Adam and Eve thought they were hiding something from God. Cain thought he was hiding his brother's box. Hiding something from God. All through the world, people think they're hiding something from God. If there's any sin in your life this morning that you haven't dealt with, it needs to be dealt with this morning. You want to come? And I'm going to tell you right now, but if no one comes, that doesn't mean I didn't hear from God. Noah was the most successful preacher ever lived. Everyone he didn't get on that mark, He can do it. You've heard it this morning. God's given you an opportunity. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I have to do that first. Well, maybe you will. Maybe you will. I know what it is to hide things. I've tried to hide things. Praise God. Now, all I ask is, are there some here this morning that need prayer for whatever reason? You need prayer. You'll come. I'll pray for you this morning. You need healing. You need perhaps a word from God. It'd be so kind to give you a word. You come.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.